Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Hello, my name is Jason Storkman. I'm an attorney at Stark & Stark with the Employment Law Section. I'm here to speak to you today on the recent rule changes, the rules of civil procedure, both in the state of New Jersey and the federal rules, on the issue of electronically stored information for the discovery process. Recently, both the New Jersey court rules and the federal rules of civil procedure were amended to include electronic materials in the category of materials that may be obtained during discovery. While such a concept may sound only of interest to attorneys, the requirements of the amended rules should be paid attention to by all corporations and other business entities, in particular for employment-related matters. The federal rules now require counsel for both parties to a lawsuit to discuss issues of electronically stored materials early in a lawsuit. Typically, such a discussion should occur prior to the initial pretrial conference. At this meeting, the attorneys are to discuss and agree on issues of electronically stored materials, including issues of retention and production of such materials. Consequently, the amended rules require counsel to meet with a client and discuss the client's data retention systems. The purpose of this meeting is to allow counsel to understand the type of data retention system the client employs, who in the company has knowledge of such systems, and the procedures employed for management of the electronic materials. The amendments to New Jersey's court rules do not have any requirement that counsel meet prior to serving discovery requests. Rather, counsel for either of the parties, pursuant to the time frame allowed in the rules, may serve a request for electronic materials and include what format the materials should be produced in. Such issues are of great concern. However, even before a lawsuit is filed, it is a good idea for an employer to meet with its attorney and the IT staff, preferably at the same meeting. Meeting with everyone at once allows the attorney to ask questions directly to the person who may best answer the questions about electronically stored materials. Also, the attorney may be able to provide advice to the IT staff on how best to prepare for a lawsuit and the maintenance of electronically stored materials should the employer receive a summons. Consequently, if counsel has met with everyone prior to litigation being initiated, litigation hold letter can be drafted with the correct information in mind and sent to the right people. For those of you who may be unaware, a litigation hold letter is a letter sent by counsel to the company instructing how to and what to preserve in light of recent litigation. Having met with a client prior to a lawsuit would help speed up the process and avoid relevant information from being destroyed due to delay or misidentification of materials. As can be seen, preparation is important because of the deadlines prescribed in the rules. Also, such preparation is important because the duty to preserve electronic materials begins when a party reasonably anticipates litigation, not once litigation begins. It does happen once litigation begins, but really, it does start much earlier. This is especially relevant to an employer because litigation is a possibility whenever a human resources problem arises. Early preparation will help the attorney representing the employer be prepared to meet the discovery deadlines and avoid the issue of spoliation of evidence. Spoliation is a term used by attorneys and in the courts to describe the destruction of evidence. In the past, the empty head, pure of heart defense may have succeeded in avoiding sanctions for electronic materials inadvertently destroyed. However, the rules are fairly clear now that such an excuse will not provide the safety net anymore to counsel or client. Hence, once litigation is anticipated, the routine document retention policy must be suspended. Subsequent to the initiation of the litigation, counsel should send a litigation hold letter and instruct what materials must be maintained. Failure to properly maintain electronically stored materials could lead to a variety of sanctions by the court. Moreover, both sets of amendments to the rules allow a party to request the form in which electronic material will be produced. Of particular relevance is the issue of native file format. A native file is a file in its original format, namely the form in which it was created. Such a statement seems harmless, but the danger lurks behind the scenes in hidden data referred to as metadata. Metadata, as one of my legal writing professors called it, is data about data. Generally, metadata is embedded in an electronic document and allows a person to see what changes were made, who made such changes, and so forth. Hence, a party could review the file and see if a document has been altered or if the author originally was going to write something different. Given written documentation for employee reviews and terminations, such an issue causes great possibility of dangers for the employer, particularly if lower level management is unaware of such issues or unaware of the possible litigation. Hence, an employer must be aware of how to preserve native files and avoid inadvertent spoliation or even possible intentional spoliation by an employee. Granted, such advice is applicable to other areas of law. However, employment law is an area of the law that the increases in the use of technology in the business world increases the risk of lawsuit. As any employer is aware, technology has changed the workplace, and its use can create a host of problems in the workplace that can lead to litigation. The new rules on electronic discovery potentially can lead to even more problems for the unprepared employer. In this instance, the best way for the employer to prepare is to plan as if it is already involved in litigation and meet with counsel. Again, my name is Jason Storpan. I'm an attorney at Stark & Stark in the litigation and the employment section. Should you have any questions or wish to reach out to me and further discuss electronically stored materials, the best way to reach me would be through email. My email address is the letter J, Storpan, Storipan, at stark-stark.com, or my bio can be reached at the website www.stark-stark.com. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.